Join me in the book of Acts, chapter 18, please. Acts chapter 18. Short message for you here this morning coming from Luke's writing, the Acts of the Apostles, of Paul's work. Paul has been traveling about, sharing the word, reasoning in the synagogues, being arrested, flogged, etc., etc. So join me in chapter 18, verse 18, please. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. And when he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia, and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You've heard the old saying, you are never too old to learn. It's a major asset, a major part of the Christian life, one's willingness, one's desire to be taught. And to learn, teaching, learning, it is the way of the Christian life. Here just a moment ago in this baptismal service, I asked Mark and Marty if they would bring up Gracie and Taylor and Caitlin as well, I'm sure, in a way to love God and to serve Him. That is a charge given to the parents. Well, a major part of that charge in those children growing and learning to love God is teaching. A parent is to teach the child the ways of God. Do not buy the popular secular notion that you are to leave a child neutral and let the child determine their own faith and their own religion as they get older. That is as unbiblical as you can get. We are to teach our children. And so I charge Mark and Marty and you, as I have baptized you or your children, a substantial part of that is teaching. But teaching and learning is not for the children all alone. The willingness to learn, even at an older age or after an extended education, is certainly a huge advantage to the Christian. As we men get together at our Bible studies, one of the beauties of our Bible study is that it is predominantly made up of your elders. The whole class, almost, is made up of elders. Men who, I will politely say, are up in years a bit. That's the reason they're on the session. But yet they come back time and again to be taught. And to learn. In the Holy Scriptures, we find over 500 times a variant of the phrase to teach. over 500 times in the English Bible. I don't know about the Hebrew and the Greek, but in the English Bible, some variant of to teach, over 500 times. In Exodus 33, Moses cries out, "Teach me your ways so that I may know you." In the book of Deuteronomy, which one Sunday school class has just begun and which I hope to preach sometime here soon, a predominant storyline in the book is to teach the children, to teach the younger generations. Psalm 143, I can hear David, "Teach me to do your will." And then we know, well, the disciples asking Jesus Christ, "Teach us to pray." And so teaching, being taught, learning is just a part of the Christian life. And what we teach and what we learn is important. Paul instructs Titus in Titus chapter 2, "Teach what is in accord with sound doctrine." Meaning that you can't teach whatever you think is good, whatever you think is right. Teach what is in accordance with sound doctrine. Speaking of Sunday school, we have a class going on right now in our Sunday school class, in our Sunday school curriculum, discussing sound doctrine, knowing what we believe and why. It's important to know. It's important to be taught. It's important to learn. Here in our text, we have a story of a man. After much education and up in age, we're not quite sure how old this gentleman is, but we believe not a young man, we see his willingness to learn. In our story, Paul has left Corinth. He's now headed to Ephesus, but in fully, he's headed on to Syria, back to Antioch. He wants to go back to the churches that he helped plant earlier, and so he's headed back to the regions just north of Israel. And Priscilla and Aquila, who he has met in his journeys, are headed back with him. In Ephesus, Priscilla and Aquila stay, and Paul goes on to Syria. Well, they meet a gentleman by the name of Apollos. Now, this should strike you as odd. A Jew, or one of the Jewish faith, named Apollos. It's not only a Roman name, it's the name of a Roman false god. So it should strike you right on that one of Jewish faith would name their child Apollos. But we believe that Apollos was born before these parents were either converted or became disciplined Jews and now are teaching him the faith. But Apollos is his name. Apollos was born in Alexandria, and Alexandria is a particular place in this time in history. Great education, a great mixture of cultural influences was available for Apollos. Aside from Paul, or like Paul, Apollos was probably very well educated. The scriptures tell us that he was eloquent in his speech, the Greek influence. The Greek influence would make great orators. Sometimes they would talk about very senseless things, but they spoke well. And so Apollos was of this. He was mighty in the scriptures. Because of his education and his training, he was able to express very clearly the things of the faith. He was able to express what he knew of the things of God. And so he was a teacher. But the thing that I want to point out to you about Apollos is this. His humility allowed him to be taught. His humility allowed him to be taught. We see in the text that while he was a good speaker, verse 26, it said that he began to speak. He spoke boldly in the synagogues. Verse 27 says that he wanted to go on to Achaia and be a teacher there. The disciples encouraged him and he went on. But there's an issue at hand here. Look with me at verse 25. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus Christ. Though he knew only the baptism of John, there were many that Paul came in contact with in this time frame that were like Apollos. They were converted to the faith, but they knew only of the teachings of John the Baptist. How many times have we heard Paul say, "Have you been baptized?" "Yes, I was baptized by John the Baptist," or "I was baptized in the baptism of John." This is a particular meaning in this time period, meaning that they understood the ministry of John the Baptist to be a ministry of repentance, that they knew of John's teaching, and they were of that line of the ministry. He's speaking of John the Baptist and his ministry of repentance. Now, John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. So John's ministry was the teaching of the law and then repentance for the breaking of it. In Matthew 3:1, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of God is near.'" Being an Old Testament prophet, he spoke of the coming of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Messiah, and the repentance preparing for his coming. Well, this was good, but it left them a bit deficient in the full understanding of Jesus Christ, the full understanding of the cross, the full understanding of the atonement for sin. In short, it left him a little bit short of the full message of the gospel. And so Apollos was teaching what he knew, but he didn't have the whole story. And so what do we see Priscilla and Aquila doing? They invite him over to the house for dinner, and they taught him. Last part of verse 26 says, "They explained to him the way of God more adequately." Now, we don't have the full measure of what they explained there, but when we take the difference of the baptism of John and his ministry and what Paul taught in his ministry, you can see the difference of the two teachings and see that there is a gap. And so we believe Priscilla and Aquila taught Apollos this portion he was missing. My point to you is this, and it is very simple. Here is a man we believe to be very well educated. Here is a man who has been preaching. Here is a man who is traveling about sharing the Word of God. But yet he had a brother and sister come to him and say, "There's some things we need to discuss." And he was there. We're never too old to learn. We're never too educated to learn. And so I give it to you that teaching and learning, it is the way of the Christian life. Growing in sanctification, it is a work of God, it is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, growing us in the likeness of Christ. But we are to use the means of grace to aid us and to bring us along in that growth. Well, a part of the means of grace is this preaching. It is the fellowship. It is the teaching that takes place in and about those kinds of things. Again, in Exodus 33, Moses, speaking to the Lord himself, said, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you." Moses had an occasion to be with God almost daily. And here he's still pleading, "Lord, teach me more. God, teach me more about you. Teach me more about you." Is this our sentiment? Do we desire to learn? Do we desire to be taught? Some of us in his church have been in Sunday school, have been in church all our lives. As I was little, every time the church door was open, Timmy was there. Some of you, every time the church door is open, you're there. It would be easy to sit back and say, "Okay, I've done mine, I've been there, done that." You move on. But we can't do that. I appreciate you who are older still coming to be taught. I appreciate those of you who have been in the church all your life. Come to be taught. I think one of the strengths of New Sterling is our teaching ministry, whether it takes place through this pulpit, through Sunday school, through the circles, through men's Bible study, etc., etc. We are ones who teach, and I appreciate your hunger to be taught. Explaining the ways of God. As a parent, it's our duty. Explaining the ways of God. As an elder, as we discussed last week, it is your duty. As a mentor, those of you who have come alongside others, that's a responsibility you took on to explain the ways of God to those you are mentoring with. As a fellow Christian, from one to another, it's a joy to share the ways of God with someone and to see them respond and grow because of that involvement. It's such a joy to talk about the things of God. It's such a joy to teach the things of God. It's such a pleasure to see people, to see you grow because of the teaching that we do here. We're never too old, and we never have too much education. We never get to positions too lofty. As a pastor, I've had 9 years of seminary. I know it all, right? Hardly. Hardly. I love to be a student. I love to learn, especially the things of God.